You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim is a significant avoda. And in a very different way, the avoda that we're about to embark upon is not so much less than his avoda. We're not going to be saying all the kinos. We're going to follow the suggestions of Chazal in numerous places. Tov ma'at bechavana miharbe shelo bechavana. I'll be indicating which kinos we'll do before we do it, and I'll at least tell you the page in the Arsko, which is what I'm going to be using. Welcome to read on the bottom as I talk, or not, or listen, whatever you want, whatever works for you. In a certain sense, Tisha B'Av is a Yom HaDin. It's a different kind of Yom HaDin. It's not a din, Yom HaDin of Mi'anua, Mi'anuach, Mi'ani, Mi'asher. It's a Yom HaDin on which we calculate, we calibrate to the extent that we are actually connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who is able to sense a sense of loss, a person who is able to feel pain, means that that person is connected to Ruchnius, and therefore could sense a loss of Ruchnius. The extent to which a person is more easily able to sense that pain is the extent to which a person is more connected to that Ruchnius. The challenge which we face to connect to that pain and connect to that sense of loss is an indication of the distance that has been caused by the galus that we are ourselves be misabel for. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted one thing in this world, the Shachanti B'Sacham, to have the opportunity to have a connection to every one of us. He wants to have that connection. The extent that we allow that connection to exist is in our hands, and has been dulled by all the tzaras that our galus has thrown our way. Yirmiyahu calls today a moed. Necha, Tisha B'Av is described as a moed. Moed, in the simplest sense, is a set time, right? Ol Moed, you learn with your kids, translate Ol Moed, the tent of meeting. Moed is a set place, an appointed place. Could be in location, geographical place, it could be a place in time. Set time that things have to happen to Klal Yisrael. Year 1290, England sent all the Jews out. On this day, 16 years later, in the year 1306, France sent all the Jews all the French Jews out on Tisha B'Av. Year 1492, the Inquisition, Spain sent out 300,000 Jews on Tisha B'Av. 1914, August 1st, 1914, Germany declares war on Russia, World War I begins. Moed. I always thought Moed was a time for dancing, for being happy. I guess that's not the only parameters of Moed. But there might be much more to what the word Moed means. Moed carries with it a connotation on the Shlosh Regalim that we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu three times a year with two very interesting words in the Torah. Liros v'liraos. To see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oh my goodness, could you imagine what it would mean once a year, twice a year, three times a year, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to see Nisim, to go into a Beis HaMikdash, with all the doubts that we have, with all the uncertainties we have in our Emunah, walk into the Beis HaMikdash and just see and feel that it's all true, it's real, we're working for a purpose, we're doing our mitzvahs for this reason for it. That pales in comparison to Leiraos. Leiraos, to appear before Hashem. Imagine knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually cares about me, cares about my avoda. Heard a story from Rav Zev Lef, originally from Miami, now he's in Moshe Matis Yo, fellow, a teacher, a public school teacher, when he was a Rav in Miami, on Gizri of Miami, I think. Public school teacher, was in a down in his shul, asked him if he could see a student of hers in the public school. I think he was in, I don't know, 10th grade, 11th grade. Wasn't a Jewish boy. But Rabbi Lef said, okay, happy to meet with him. Teacher says that apparently he's exceedingly depressed to a dangerous level. Maybe the rabbi could speak to him. So the boy comes in and says, Rabbi Lef says to him, what, you know, I understand that there's something that's on your mind. I'm happy, you know, whatever I could do, I'd have to speak with you. tell me what your situation is. The boy says, well, I live with my father, and my father, you know, gave me a credit card, and he bought me a sports car. And recently, he's been going out with a woman, but the woman doesn't really want any kids around. So my father told me, you know what? I bought you your own apartment. Bought you a bachelor pad. Here you have an 11th grader, his own apartment, credit card, sports car. My father handed me the keys to his bachelor pad he just bought for me. And I realized I just can't go on with my life. Because it's not about a father giving us a credit card or a sports car or even a place to live. It's about feeling that a father cares about us. It's a sense of knowing that there's somebody who, ichpat lo, I'm significant in his eyes. That's leiraos, to appear before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see us, wants to have the opportunity, not just us, to see him and to be inspired by what we could have said in the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, but to be seen by him. That's another meaning of Moed that we don't have either of those aspects. Moed, we'd go to Yerushalayim and we'd see, we'd evaluate ourselves how, you know, all year long we might be working in our fields in Haifa, in Beersheba, wherever we are in Eretz Yisrael. And then a few times a year we check in. We check in to make sure that we're still connected. Tisha B'Av is that same kind of day. We have to check in with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Are we connected? Are we not connected? If we find that this year our Tisha B'Av is one that we're able to sense something, that we're able to feel something a little bit more, that we're able to feel the Tzara of Klal Yisrael a little bit more, that we're able to feel or imagine that we feel a pain for the Tzara Shechina, for the loss of Ruchnius, to that extent we had a good Yantif. To the extent that we're emotionless, wasn't a good yontif. There's a lot at stake at this avoda this morning. Yaakov Emden writes in the Akdama to Siri Yaivitz, the primary reason why we are still in Galus is for the simple, single reason that we are not sufficiently misabel on the Churban HaBayis and for being in Galus. In other words, if you don't mind your predicament, there's no reason for somebody to take you out of your predicament. If you don't mind wallowing in the mud, there's no reason for somebody to rescue you from the mud. If we don't mind being in the gutter, why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu take us out of the gutter? Gmar Gin and Zion, Amalei Abayler of Yosef, Me'achra Tehavu Tzadikim Kulei Hai, my time a Yonush. Certain generation were so righteous. Ask Sabai, then why were they punished if they were so righteous? They were righteous. They were medakti kivitzes. They kept Yosh, they kept Chol of Yisrael. They didn't carry in the Erev. They did all kinds of mitzvahs. They learned Torah. They had daf yomis. They never missed a minyan. Why were they punished? Because you could do all of that and then some. Everything else, it's all external. Person who can't have avelos on Yerushalayim means there's no inner connection, there's no genuine relationship between the individual with all the acts that they do with their body, with their limbs, with their hands, with their mouths, with their feet, but there's no connection with their heart. To Ruchnius, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And concludes the Gemara Dichsiv. Where do we see that Avelos on Yerushalayim is so significant? Simchu es Yerushalayim v'gilu ba'kolo haveah. cease to be tamasos, who's going to have the opportunity, the zechus, the rarefied gift of the simcha of Yerushalayim, the gila of Yerushalayim, masos, concludes the pasuk, only kol hamisablim aleha. There's a lot at stake right now. There's a lot at stake. It's a very significant avoda. It's an avoda that needs work. There's a discussion among the Achronim. What is the precise distinction between Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebichsav? For example, if I open up a Zohar, I don't know any Aramaic, I open up a Zohar, I don't know any Aramaic, I open up a Gemara, and I just read the words. I know how to read Hebrew, I just don't understand any Aramaic. I just read words. Do I fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? If I open up a Tehillim, or a Shmuel Aleph, and I read words, and I don't know, I could read the words, I just don't know what any of them mean, do I fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? The Chasam Sofer says that the Chiluk, it depends. Torah Shebichsav is significance in the words themselves. You read the words of Torah Shebichsav, you yotzi kiyum mitzvah d'oraisa, mitzvah zasei of Talmud Torah. When it comes to Torah Shebaal Peh, you read Mishnayos, you read Gemara without understanding it, you didn't fulfill anything, you just wasted your time, and you exhaled some breaths, and there was no Talmud Torah there. Kinos is Torah Shebaal Peh. The goal of Kinos is not to say the words, the goal of Kinos is to elicit an emotion. The goal of Kinos is to bring oneself, ideally, if we should only be Zochet at one point, at some point today, to be able to maybe drop a tear. That's the goal of Kinos. Saying the words is nothing compared to the possibility of arousing an emotion for those Kinos. The goal of Tisha B'Av is not to say Chidushim, the goal of Tisha B'Av is not to hear Chidushim. The goal of Tisha B'Av is to try to generate a sense of loss. What loss? Loss for what? Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Kimigdal David Savareich, Ze Beis HaMikdash. Medrash compares the Beis HaMikdash to the Tzavar, to a neck. V'lama Medameo B'Tzavar, asks the Medrash in Shir HaShirim and in Bereishis, two places. Says the Medrash, Ma Tzavar, Im nital ein adam chayim, kemish achar beis hamikdash ein chayim. You take away the neck, there's no life. Take away beis hamikdash, there's no life. What's the purpose of a neck? What does a neck do? Neck has a few purposes, a few very significant purposes. First of all, it connects the head to the body. It's an olam haruchni, it's an olam hagashmi that we live in. That beis hamikdash was that neck that connected the world that we live in, the physical world that we spend our 70 plus years here in Olam Hazeh, to the head, to the Olam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one thing that a neck does. Neck also has the esophagus, food pipe. Food travels through the mouth, down into the stomach. Beis HaMikdash brought all of the gashmias to the world. On Sukkot, we brought karbonos for the Shivim Umos. Chazal say that if the Goyim would only have realized that all of the bracha that comes to them is only because of the our avod and the Beis HaMikdash, how foolish they were to have destroyed something that brings bracha to them. They're hurting themselves. The bracha that we want in business, the bracha that we want our food to taste good, the bracha that we want in everything gashmi, that also came like the esophagus from Shemayim down to the Aretz through the Tzavar, through the Beis HaMikdash. The next function of the neck is that it has the windpipe, has the trachea, the air goes in through the mouth, goes down into our lungs. Our ruchniyistic connection from us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the Beis HaMikdash. The frightening Gra. The Gra says these words, Bish'as HaChurban
Ta'amu ta'am misa mamish. What's misa? Death is, there's a neshama in a person. The neshama is taken away. Rabosai. And what do you think Churban Beis HaMikdash was? A house that was on fire? Some bricks came tumbling down? That wasn't Churban Beis HaMikdash. Churban Beis HaMikdash meant there was a Shechina that was Shori in Klal Yisrael. There was a presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us, in us, and that Shechina left us. Guess what? That's a neshama leaving a guf. That's Misa. In the most literal sense. When the neck is cut, that's the severance, that's severing the guf from the body. The ability to get sustenance from the source of sustenance, the ability to live a life of ruchnius from the source of ruchnius. Now we're less connected to Shemayim. There's less ruchnius. Malkovis, Rabba Goyim, Ein Torah. Ein Torah, the Pasuk Necha that we read last night says. I don't understand. Do you know how many people, Yom Galayit, are learning in Lakewood? Do you know how big the Mir is in Eretz Yisrael? Rebbe Kveiger, the Chasam Sofer, the Gra, the Chafetz Chaim? Ain't Torah? Come on, Yirmiyahu. That's not true. Just imagine. Everything that we have. 6,000 boys learning in the Mir, 5,000, 6,000 boys learning in Lakewood. And all that is Ain't Torah. Yes, all that is Ain't Torah. Just imagine what Torah was and how grand Torah was and how deep Torah was and how just in Ruchnius. Pasuk says in the beginning of the, I think the fourth parak of Eicha, Eicha Yu'am Zahav. Yu'am means to dim. Zahav had a certain luster, a certain shine. With the Churban Habayis, even the luster of the Zahav dimmed. Says the Medrash in Tehillim, it's also Mishnah in Sota. Meshim ben Gamliel Omer. Miyom shachar beis hamikdash, ein yom shein bo klala, ein yored tal shabracha, ni tal tam min hapeiros. Food doesn't taste the same. Food doesn't taste as good. And other chazals that reflect the fact that all the hanos of Olam Hazeh, even they are dulled by the absence of the ruchnius component in them that was there when we had the Beis HaMikdash. Finally, as the Chafetz Chaim points out in numerous places, what's our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in one word? You have to say in one word, English or Hebrew, our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, five letters, M-I-T-Z-V-A, six letters, I'm sorry, a mitzvah. A mitzvah is the definition of our ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how many mitzvahs do we have nowadays without the Beis HaMikdash? Out of 613, what do we have? We have 550 left? We have 500 left? 450, 400? I don't remember the exact count, but in the Sefer Mitzvahs HaKotzer of the Chafetz Chaim, he points out that we have less than 50%. We have less than 300 mitzvahs left without the Beis HaMikdash. That means half of whatever connection a human being can achieve to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have less than half of the capacity, even if we did every mitzvah in perfection, bedveikus, be'ahava, be'yira, be'simcha, we still couldn't reach even half of what there is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We mentioned on Shabbos, the pasuk in Eicha, Gam ki ezak v'ashaveya, sasam tfilasi. Is there any person in this room who isn't frustrated with themselves about the fact that davening with kavan is so difficult? Another Shemona Esrei, and I spaced out for 18/19 of it. Another opportunity to say something with kavan, and I blew it again. Where do you think that comes from? Comes from the fact that we don't have that connection, that sense, that reality in our minds and mind's eye of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of us, and even if we did, sasam tfilasi. Sometimes feel like we're talking to the wall because scared to say it, but sasam tfilasi, yeah. We're talking to the wall a little bit. We finished Mona Esrei. This is the point that Gra points out before we begin the first Kina. We have concluded Shemona Esrei. There's an unusual juxtaposition. Yirat Zalma Fanecha, Shem Elokeinu Elokeinu Vaseinu, we say it 3 times a day for the past who knows how many years. Sheyibaneh Beis HaMikdash, B'mehera V'yameinu V'seinech Elokeinu B'sar Esecha. What's the correlation? There are two different things. Please rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And separately, Seinech Elokeinu B'sar Esecha. Says the Gra, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Eicha, we just pointed out, Malkav Esareh Bagoyim ain't Torah. We don't have Torah anymore. We don't have Torah anymore. We don't have Torah for lots of reasons. First of all, because ever realize how many from Yidden there are today? Or let me rephrase it. Ever realize how many people are not sitting on the floor this morning? We are the vast minority of the minority of the minority. For every one of us, there are 15 Yidden who are at the beach this morning. So yeah, ain't Torah, there's just not so many people learning Torah. We have a big achrayus. Separately and apart from that, when we do sit and learn, it's something that almost, you know, it's an active intellectual exercise, intellectually scintillating perhaps. It's not so real. I don't see the realness in Torah. Our emunah isn't. If we had an emunah where we sense the reality and the value of every word of Torah, imagine how great our dedication to it would be. And Torah is nothing more than Dvar Hashem. It's Hashem connecting to us, Hashem communicating to us. If Hashem ain't here, so how do you expect Torah to connect us to Him when He's not available to connect with? I want to make one point. The first kina, before we make the first speak, let's start the first kina. Kina number Vav, the five we said last night. Shavas, everything came to a standstill. If you look at this kina, you will not see anything about crying. If you look at the next kina, you're not going to be saying anything about crying. If you look at the next kina, you're not going to see anything about crying. We're not going to get to crying. The word crying will not even be mentioned for another few kinas. The first few kinas are just about shock, disbelief. I don't know if there are any psychologists here, but there are different theories of grief and different models of grief. And when a person loses a rachmana litzlan relative, the first emotion is not grief, it's shock. Grief doesn't come into later. I just want to ask one question to couch our avelos. A stira in the Rambam. Every good shir has to have a stira in the Rambam. Can't learn Torah today, but we could still ask this stira. There's a halacha. When a person sits avelos, when a person loses a relative, rachmana litzlam, the halacha is, the Rambam says, al yiskasha adam al meso yoser midai. A person is not allowed to be overwhelmingly grieving. Shneemar brings a pasuk, and he says, shezel minahago shel olam. That's the way the world works. V'amitzar atzmo yoser min v'amitzar atzmo yoser amenhago shel olam hareza tipesh. Somebody who grieves a loss too much is a tipesh. That's the halacha in Hilchos Avelos. My question is that if you look at the Rambam when he talks about Avelos on the Beis HaMikdash, he talks about how people are misabel on the Beis HaMikdash, and then he says that's for the regular people who are not able to be so vel yoser midai, who can't handle so much. Aval chasidim harishonim, how would they carry themselves? Erev Tisha B'Av, ha yomevin lo la'adam levado, he would sit by himself, he'd have some dried bread with salt and water, and he'd sit between the oven and the furnace, and he'd sit there b'de'aga, with worry, b'shmamon, in desolation, u'b'chia, and in crying, k'misha meisa muta lefanav, as though he's the coffin. You go to a levaya, you see a coffin, you see the family comes, and for the first time they see the coffin in front of them, and all of a sudden they burst out into tears. Because zeh roi lachachamim la'asos. This is the proper way to be mesabel on Tisha B'Av. Or karav mizeh, something like that. I don't understand. The steer in the Rambam. The Rambam says that when a person is avelis, they're not supposed to have so much. And in this Rambam, he says, the regular people can't do yoser midai, but the right way to do it is, in all that's yoser midai. You are supposed, when it comes to being samitash, we're supposed to go overboard. We're supposed, there's no limit. I think the answer to this contradiction is in one word. The Rambam in Hilchos Avela says, you know why we're not supposed to be misabel yoser midai? Because zeh minhago shel olam. It's minhago shel olam that a person should never happen, but a relative might die. But Rabosai, it's normal to die, but it's not normal to have 6 million people die. It's normal to die, but it's not normal to have 3 yeshiva boys going home on Thursday night for Shabbos getting slaughtered. It's normal to die, but it's not normal for high school boys, tzaddikim, learning Mishmar on a Thursday night in Yeshiva Merkas HaRav to bleed to death over Gemara Bava Bitzian and Bava Bas and Kiddushin.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
It's normal to die, but it's not normal for a girl the night before a wedding to go out to dinner with her father for the last meal that she's an unmarried girl, and to get blown up with her father, and instead of being at her wedding and having her face done and having her hair done, being buried on the day of her chasana, that's not minhago shel olam. That's not minhago shel olam. And if that's not minhago shel olam, then it's okay if we're misabel yoser midai. Because we can't be misabel yoser midai when things are normal. But we don't live a normal existence. This kino that we just said, the kino we're about to say, were written by Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir. Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir is the author of all the kinos until, I think, kino Chaf. The first 15 kinos are all from Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir. Shiloh, when he lived. Tosus writes, Tosus Chagiga Daf Yud Gimel, Shuhu Yatana Vahoya Rebbe Lazar Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, the son of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was in the cave for all those years with who? With his son Rebbe Lazar. Tosa says that this Rebbe Lazar sitting with his father Reb Shimon Bar Yochai in the cave, that's this Rebbe Lazar who wrote these kinos that we're saying. Mogen Avram writes that the Arizal never said piyutim, the Arizal never said pizmonim, except those that were written by the Rishonim, Kigon, Rebbe Lazar HaKalir, which were written perfectly, Al Derech HaKabbalah, Al Derech HaEmes, with the secrets of Torah. And then the Magen Avraham continues to say, but we should just follow our minog, whatever our minog is, each place to itself. Continues the Magen Avraham, quotes the Shibali HaLeket, Kishapiyat Rebbe Eliezer, when Rebbe Lazar HaKalir wrote the piyut, not a piyut that we say in kinos, but one of the other piyutim, I think possibly on Yom Naram. V'hachayos ha-shehena, whatever. Talking about the chayos in Shamayim. Lihata eish svivosav. Fire encircled him as he wrote this piyut. We're dealing with some very, 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 very powerful words in these kinos, as difficult as they are. Other opinions argue on Tosfos and say, no, he wasn't Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's son. He was a gaon, meaning from the time of the gaonim, the 9th century or so. Reb Lazar HaKalir, as you could see, had all of, not just Eicha, obviously, but all of Tanakh at the tips of his fingertips, Chazal's at the tip of his fingertips, and the way he was able to weave and create and create a majesty of words. He used a very strong literary technique in Kina Zion. In literature, they call it a foil. Contrast. In the words of Chazal, Mibir Ramya Libora Amikta, from the heights to the depths. When you see contrast, the heights seem so much higher and the depths seem so much deeper. This kina goes in 2 sentences. The first one is Eicha, how could this happen? How could such terrible things happen? How could this happen and that happen and that happen? and you don't remember what it used to be. You don't remember the beautiful whatever that we used to have. Zion, Echa zanachta bezamecha lezalzel biyad zarem zivulecha. How could you allow this zilzal to happen in the Beis Hamikdash? V'lo zacharta, the ches is beautiful. Every line is a different letter. Chitun, the marriage of Chukei Chorev, the marriage that we had together with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at Har Sinai, when you gave us the Torah. I want to share with you an incredible insight of the Alshich on Eicha. The Pasuk that we concluded the previous kina with, Zachor Hashem Meho Yalanu, Hashem should remember what was to us. And it's also going to be the refrain, the last words of each stanza of the coming kina of Kina Zayin, Zachor Hashem Meho Yalanu. It's from the Pasuk in Eicha. I want to share with you the Alshich on that Pasuk that we're going to say right now about 11 times. Pasuk says, Zechar Hashem Hayalanu, Hashem remember all that's happened to us. Habita ur'e es cherpaseinu, and look down and see our cherpa, our shame. Now I want to understand, what do the words mean? Remember what happened to us. Remember the good things. Remember that how bad we are. What a terrible situation we're in. And similarly, it repeats itself. Look how destitute we are. Look at our cherpa. The Alshich says no. The Alshich says, you know what Zachar Hashem Mahayalanu means? There's a question that the early English, I don't know if it's a line from Shakespeare or in that time period, whether that it is better to have loved and lost or to have never loved before. I'll tell you the Alshich's words. Eino dome tzar he'ani. Asher miyom av lora osher, a poor person who never had wealth. It's not easy to be poor. It's not easy to struggle. It's not easy to not have food to feed your kids. It's not easy to pay tuitions. But you know what that would be compared to an Ashir Gadol who now finds himself in a situation of poverty? Somebody who had wealth and had lots of delicious food and lived a life and paid, and all of a sudden finds themselves in such difficult straits? That's so much more difficult. Somebody, says the Alshich, who never had the good life, who never had that wealth, becomes accustomed to it. It's part of his Kedavar Tivi. And it's an uncomfortable feeling to live with a life of wanting, but if that's life, that's life. You get used to it. But somebody who's an usher and then becomes impoverished, every time they go through they deal with that poverty, they remember in the back of their mind's eye that once they had this, once they didn't struggle, once they had what they needed, once they were able to live. It's an incredible insight that the Alshich says is pshat in this pasuk. Zechor Hashem Mahayalanu doesn't mean, oh, look what a terrible life we've had, save us. Zechor Hashem Mahayalanu, look what a great, incredible things that we've experienced. Zechor Hashem Mahayalanu, the wonders, the incredible opportunities that you've given us, the closeness to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we once had. And now, Re'ei Es Cherpaseinu, look at our cherpa. Not just look at our cherpa, at the troubles that we go through right now, but at the troubles we go through right now for somebody who once had something so special. For somebody who once had such love. For somebody who once had such wealth. That contrast that we're going to say in Kina Zayin makes the pain all the more painful. Kina Yun Aleph, in a certain sense, is the most important, the most genuine, the oldest Kina. It's a kina written by none other than the author of Eicha of Yirmiyahu on Melech Yoshiyahu. If you have it in your art school, you could read the whole story. But in short, the story goes like this. Yoshiyahu was a tzaddik gomer, and he was the founder of the Baal Tshuva movement, and it was at a time that Klal Yisrael were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And his own family, his own parents, grandparents, were established Avodah Zarah throughout the whole kingdom of Klal Yisrael. And then, at one point, after he became king, they found the Sefer Torah, which is hard to imagine. All of Klal Yisrael, there was not a Sefer Torah to be found until they happened to be doing a Bedek HaBayis in the Kodesh HaKodosh, in the Beis HaMikdash, and they found an old, old Sefer Torah from previous generations. You know, we think that this whole thing of people not being religious and not knowing, being uneducated, is a new phenomenon. It happened when he came to America. It happened in the Enlightenment in Germany. In the Beis HaMikdash. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash. They brought this Sefer Torah to Yoshiyahu, Melech Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu realized, oh my goodness, there's a Sefer Torah. There are mitzvos. We have to get rid of our Avodah Zarah. He began an incredible, incredible tshuva movement. Created a state of emergency, spiritual emergency, and ordered strict orders to uproot every bit of Avodah Zarah anywhere that could be found in Eretz Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael did tshuva. Melech Yoshiyahu was a tzaddik gomer, one of the great Baalei Tshuva. Baalei Tshuva still inspire us. And Yoshiyahu was very convinced of the goodness of Klal Yisrael, the tshuva that Klal Yisrael had done. And therefore, when he was asked by Paro Necho, who lived to the southeast in Mitzrayim, to pass through Eretz Yisrael, not to wage war with Klal Yisrael, just to pass through so he could fight the Syrians who live in the northwest. You're going from the southeast to the northwest. Travel through Eretz Yisrael just to get to Syria up on top. I think it was Syria. And Yoshiyahu was reminded of a pasuk that says, "Cherev lo yavor ba'atzachem," when you're doing Ratzon Hashem, "Cherev lo yavor ba'atzachem." And the tradition is, "Afilu shel shalom." Not just that there won't be battles, there won't be fights, but there won't be a cherev that passed through you, even for shalom. And therefore, with that false bitachon that we spoke about once in Shul, Yoshiyahu decides against the advice of his Nevi'im, who told him, no, you think Klal Yisrael is better than they are. You're a little bit naive, Yoshiyahu. You're a little bit, you're not seeing the full picture. You don't really realize what's happening to Klal Yisrael. And so he is convinced about the tzidkus of Klal Yisrael, and he's convinced that there's no Avodah Zarah, which he worked so hard to get rid of. And says, no, Paro, you can't come through. Paro comes with his arrows and kills Yoshiyahu. And Yoshiyahu, I think, Pasuk says, when he dies, Yoshiyahu says, Hashem is right, I was wrong, I didn't listen to the Navi, warn me. Tzadik Hashem Kipi Marisi. Thank you. That's the story. And Yirmiyahu realized that he was Taka Tzadik, that Yoshiyahu, despite this Nekuda, that he didn't listen to the Nevi'im, he was nevertheless an incredible Baal Tshuva who tried to save and to turn around all of Klal Yisrael. His mistake, if you look at Dalid, the article speaks it out, but I would like to bring a very important point to the fore. Dovak bochet leitzanei hadar asher koma achar haderes lisdor. When Yoshiyahu set up all of his emissaries and his government officials, like the KGB, they try to find any, KGB would make sure there wouldn't be any Jewish activity here. Yoshiyahu was the opposite. He had his own KGB, but for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make sure he'd go into every house and make sure there's no Avodah Zarah. So the people figured out a very wise patent, as they say in Eretz Yisrael. And imagine a police officer bursting into your house and looking for Avodah Zarah. So they figured, let's put the Avodah Zarah on the inside of the door, and as the police officer will come in and throw the doors open, that side where the Avodah Zarah was painted on the interior of the door would be sung open and wouldn't be seen. They'd search the house, but they wouldn't see the inside of the door because it was thrown open and they weren't looking there. It was only on the inside. And that was an Avodah Zarah that they didn't realize, that he wasn't able to find. That's the Dalin. Look at Mem. Mechatos, he was unaware, Yoshiyahu, in his excitement, thinking that we did tshuva, he was unaware, mechatos stiras ha-mezuzos, the hiding behind the mezuzos. You know what this is? Somebody wants to do Avodah Zarah, fine. Someone wants to do an Avera, fine. But look at the conniving. Look at the perversion of creating a strategic plan to figure out with incredible, incredible brilliance and strategy a way to do what you want to do to not be caught. There's something that reminds me of this. It's the letter He that we say on Yom Kippur, He Avinu. He Avinu, the article I think on the article Max on Yom Kippur translates it as, we were perverse. You know what it means to be a pervert? It means to take something that's a certain way and figure out a way why you convince yourself why it is okay. You create a whole thought process, a whole mental schema, convincing yourself why, you know, figuring out how to do things that are not okay. It used to be that certain things, even in the Gentile world, were considered wrong. I don't want to get into details. We're standing in front of an Aron Kodesh, not even a Paroches. And as the past 20, 30 years unfold, not so much longer, all of a sudden things that a regular guy on the street might consider to be the most immoral, disgusting things, all of a sudden considered to be every individual's choice, every human being's right to identify as they wish, with whom they wish, marry who they wish. What one person calls Ritzicha of dozens of school children, other people call support of the Second Amendment. One person calls Ritzicha of a helpless, unborn fetus. Other people called women's choice, women's rights. Do you see what we're doing? We're taking murder and we're couching it in different terms so that all of a sudden, instead of calling it abortion and murder, we call it women's choice. That's Ha'avinu. That's taking something so cockeyed, so terrible, so, and making a philosophy out of it. Making a philosophy that this is, and if you don't believe the way we believe, you're the bad guy. You think a man should marry a woman? You're the one who's judgmental, who's not normal, who's not fair, who's not. That's what they did. They were perverted. They wanted to do that avodah zarah. They figured out a whole philosophy, a whole mahalach, how to do what they could do with conniving, with strategy. It's one thing to realize, and this is such an important thing for us as we live in our generation, that person chapsataiva does something wrong. Okay, so they did something wrong. People do things wrong. Chapsataiva, something happens. But to rationalize it and to make it into a lifestyle, to make it into something that all of a sudden we thought it used to be terrible, now it's okay to do. It's almost a mitzvah to do. That's part of what we're being misabel here. Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that this kina is based on is the following. It's a very unusual pasuk, and to understand, appreciate why this kina is presumably the most important, the most authentic kina that we're going to be saying today. When Divrei Hayamim says the following, Vayikonen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu, which is the opening words of this kina, Vayomru, and they said in this hesped for Yoshiyahu HaMelech, Kol HaSharim VaHasharos, all the singers should sing B'Kinosem when they're Kinos Al Yoshiyahu Ad Hayom. And they made this as a chok, Vayitnum L'chok Al Yisrael, says Rashi. What does it mean, Vayitnum L'chok, that this was established as a law in Klal Yisrael, says Rashi, when there will be, I'm just translating the Hebrew into English, Kishemizdami lem shum tsar b'chia, when there will ever occur in Klal Yisrael a tsar or a time to cry, and they're crying about any matter that they're encountering, Yirmiyahu is misakein, that they should also be mazkir zeh hatzar imo, this tzar of Yoshio's death with it. Dugmas, for example, says Rashi, b'tisha b'av, there's a Rashi on Divrei Hayamim, shemazkirim kinos al haharugim b'gzeros that occurred b'yameinu. When did Rashi live? Rashi didn't live in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. He didn't live in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. He didn't just say that when we talk about the kinos of the people who were killed 2,000 years ago, 924 years ago. No. Rashi, who lived during the First Crusade, says, when we say the kinos for the harugim who are killed b'yameinu in our generation, says Rashi, this pasuk is telling us so too we should also include a kina for Yoshiyahu. If anybody questions the need to consider the need to say a kina for what we are encountering in our generation, what we encounter in our generation, what people in this room right now saw in Germany, in Amsterdam, in Poland, in the Ukraine, just a few decades ago. No, the Tisha B'Av is just for the Tisha, just for the Beis HaMikdash, the first, the second, whatever, maybe the Crusade. No! Alakino She'iru B'Yameinu, the things that are happening right now. For those boys in Merkaz Harav. My nephew, August 1st. August 1st is the day, 1914, that the World War I started. August 1st is also the draft date. In Eretz Yisrael, there are two draft dates. My nephew just went in. He's been learning America's Hara for the past 5 years. When I went to learn with him, two summers ago, a little bit. I went to see that library. That library, we're 8. Halavai, our boys, our 16-year-old boys, should spend their Thursday nights sitting over, hovering over a Gemara at midnight in a Beis Medrash. And he was just, he was sitting and learning for the past 5 years, so he didn't start when he was 18. He's 23 now, I think. He just went into the army. And those boys, younger than him, he's old already. The 19-year-old boys, the 20-year-old boys, the 18-year-old boys were killed last year, 2 years ago, in Gaza. That was the gzeiros she'iru b'yameinu, the kinos that we have to say for people for our time, not just for what was. If we look at the Reish towards the end of the Kina, this will finish and we'll go to the Kina. The incredible godless, despite Yoshio's mistake, and he made a mistake, and he was killed for his mistake of not listening to the Nevi'im. But what was his reaction? We make mistakes, we do things wrong, but when we realize that we made a mistake, do we rationalize it, or do we say, look at Reish, as he was killed, as those 300 arrows were shot into his body like a sieve, Ruach Sfasav Hiftsami Pihu, his last breath emanated from his lips, Tzadik Hu Hashem Kimarisi Pihu, Tziduk Hadin, he realized, it's not because Hashem is mean, my fault. That ability to accept responsibility, that ability to recognize, to bear responsibility and accountability, that whatever happens is ultimately not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger, but our choices, is so fundamental in the Tziduk Hadin of Tisha B'Av, in the Tziduk Hadin of everything that happens in our lives and everything that happens in the collective galus of Klal Yisrael, to the extent that we're able to recognize the Tziduk Hadin, to that extent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not need to send us things to help us realize. The next Kina, Yud Bey, is the next one. We're not going to skip here. Everyone realize that I know we didn't say too many kinas yet, but we've been doing kinas for an hour. And does anyone realize that we didn't mention the Beis HaMikdash yet? That the kinos did not mention the Beis HaMikdash yet? This is the first kina to mention the Beis HaMikdash. Six kinas in. Ohali, my ohel, asher ta'avta, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a desire for, had a love for, ad lo breishis, before he even created the world. One of the things that he created was the Beis HaMikdash. What do you mean? He didn't create the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash 2,000 years after the world was created. Obviously, there's a Beis HaMikdash in the Elyonim. There's a concept of the Mikdash in Shemayim that was a necessary prerequisite for Briyas HaOlam. A world can't be without at least the theoretical possibility, or better yet, the Ruchnias Tikkun Metzius, spiritual existence of a Beis HaMikdash, of a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be shown most physically in this world. Because otherwise, what's the point of the world? What's the point of a world without a Beis HaMikdash, without a place where Hashem only created the world? To create an opportunity for Him to be Shorah among us, and therefore there had to be at least the conceptual framework for a Beis HaMikdash before Bereishis began. Question. The first word of Kino Yud Beis, you could look inside, is Ohali, my Ohel. The first word of every paragraph here is Ohali, 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 Ohali. I have a better word. Basi, right? We're not talking about the Churban of the Ohel Omoed, of the Mishkan. The Mishkan wasn't destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. It wasn't destroyed by Titus. The Mishkan just, you know, it's like you bought a Toyota 17 years ago and it's still going. You get a new car not because it was destroyed, because it's 17 years old and you want a new car. The Mishkan wasn't destroyed, we just upgraded from the Mishkan to the Beis HaMikdash. So we're not in Avelos for the Ohel, for the Olmoid. Why are we talking about the Ohel? Sounds like the Mishkan. What about the Beis HaMikdash? Ibn Ezra points out, the first point in the article here, that in Eicha, the word Ohel refers to the Beis HaMikdash because just like you take a fire, a little fire, a little spark, and you let it touch a tent, it bursts in flames. Oh, okay. I guess it is a good word to describe the Beis HaMikdash in Ohel. But I'd like to suggest something, perhaps another reason why in Eicha, Beis HaMikdash is referred to as an Ohel. One of the first arts and crafts projects that your kid brings home before first grade, probably in playgroup if not nursery, is in the beginning, a few weeks after Simchas Torah, when we read the parasha of Hachnasas Archim, Avram Avinu, so they all come home with some picture of a tent with four doors. Four doors. Right, Avram Avinu did Hachnasas Archim, east, north, east, south, east, west, north, south, from all directions, his house was open. I mentioned this once, an incredible machshav I heard from Rashiv Ritziko Shalevsky, based on a Mishnah in Taros. Mishnah in Taros says that a Rishus that has a Pesach on all four sides, north, south, east, west, has a Din Rishus Harabim. Nafkamina, Saviktum Bishus Hayachid, Lahachmir, Saviktum Bishus Harabim, Lahakel, whatever the Nafkaminas are, a room, a building that's open on all four sides is not a building. It has a halacha of a Rishus Harabim. What does it mean that Avram Avinu's tent had four doors? You know what? I bet Avram Avinu's tent did not have four doors. And yet, what Chazal are teaching us, and what our Moros are teaching our four-year-olds, is Avram Avinu's house was a Rishus HaRabim. Lesson to us. We're very concerned that our neighbors should be confident that we have the nicest drapes and couches. Our neighbors should be confident that our dinnerware, that our plates are sparkling and of the latest fashion. Maybe if we focused more on making sure that everybody in the neighborhood was taken care of, all those people that might not have meals, nice Shabbos meals, are taken care of, maybe that might be more important than making sure that our house looks perfect, and I don't want to have a guest because my house isn't perfect right now. Because the Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabims are not always clean, especially those of us who live in New York, you who live here in Long Island, I grew up in New York, the streets are not so clean. You know why? Because it's a street. It's a Rishus HaRabim. Okay. So I might not be able to put on the greatest show when I have guests. But my house is a Rishus HaRabim. Anybody who needs could come inside. The Beis HaMikdash, we think it's our house. The Goyim could bring Karbanos. Okay, they can't bring a Shlomim, they have to bring a Karbanola. Goyim brought Karbanos, and we're davening for Yemos HaMashiach. You know something? Even for that, Ki Beis Tibet Tvila Yikarei what? L'chol Ha'amim. Beis HaMikdash is not just a loss for us. Tisha B'Av, every human being in this entire world should right now be sitting on the floor like we are here in Shul and all the Shuls across the world. Not just us, all the Goyim of the world should also be sitting with us. That's an ohel. Beis HaMikdash was an ohel. An open ohel. It's a mitzvah of going to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year. We pointed out earlier, not just to see Hashem, but to have that wonderful bracha of being seen by Hashem and Hashem actually knowing that, we knowing that Hashem actually cares about us. Echpat lo aleinu. Tosos points out that one of the reasons, it's based on a pasuk, one of the reasons for Aliyah L'Rego, why every single Jew had to make the trek to Yerushalayim. If you walk into there, you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you see the Kohanim, Bizrizusam, you see them running to and fro with such Yerush Shemayim, with such alacrity. If I would take you, right? Today's Tisha B'Av. That means this coming Shabbos is Shabbos Nachamu. Big parties happening. Big vacations coming up. Let's say instead of going on vacation, whatever you have for vacation, we lift you up, lift me up, plop me down somewhere in the middle, the back left of the Kol HaChazon Ish in Bnei Brak. For a week. Then I'm going to come back to work. For September 1st, right after Labor Day, September 5th, 6th, whatever it is. After being for a week in Kol HaChazon Ish, looking at people with long white beards who never left this bench. Send me for a few minutes to shower L'Chavit Shabbos and to do whatever else they needed to take care of. When I go back to work after Labor Day, I'm going to be a very different person. That's what Aliyah L'Regel was, L'Havdil, L'Havdil. You take a person from his field in the middle of Tel Aviv, and you send him to Yerushalayim for a week to watch the Kohanim. Bizrizusam, as Tosfos points out, you come back to your farm in Tel Aviv, somewhere in the Gush Dan, you're a different person. All of a sudden, you daven before you tend to the plow. You daven before you pick up the phone to call a client. You excuse yourself from the important client because you don't want to miss Mincha with a minion. Why? Because you just came back from Yerushalayim. You just came back from the city for we call Chazon Ish. It's a different... You're elevated. You're inspired. What else was Aliyah L'Rego? Did you ever go to a really big rally? I remember when I was little, they used to have the Soviet Union rallies when I was really little. And you feel, wow, I'm a part of a big, now more recently, Baruch Hashem, Sim HaShas. You go to the stadium and you're 50,000, 60,000 Jews. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokei Amen, Yehi Shmei Rabbah. That sense of pride. A kavod, a real, real genuine pride of being part of something so big, so incredible, for good reasons. Part of a team. Imagine what that would be. Not with 50,000 people, but with 500,000 people. When I was at Rabbi Yoshev's Levaya, I was with a boy from Framingham, Massachusetts. Just met somebody this week from Framingham, Massachusetts, somebody in this neighborhood. She said her husband was Mekurev by the Chabad Shliach in Framingham, Massachusetts. Anyone know anybody from Framingham, Massachusetts? That Chabad Shliach had a Rabbi Lazarus, had a son in my shir, And I was having my summer program a few years ago. We needed more guys. We had enough girls. We needed more guys to come with the program, to balance the program. So I told him, Mendel Lazarus, your father's the shliach in Framingham, Massachusetts. Maybe you have some non-religious friends. I said, sure, I have my friend Joey. I grew up with Joey. I said, okay, ask Joey if he wants to come to Israel for the summer. Okay. So Joey shows up at the airport. And they say, oh my gosh, I think I might have made a mistake. Joey looks like a small Sherman tank, with his tank top, muscles bulging out, tanned to a crisp, probably because he was on the beach all day. The backwards baseball cap. Like, this guy is not good. I wanted to teach Gemara to some boys, and here I have Joey, who looks like he should be, you know, part of the WWF, not part of my base medrash program. Rav Yosha was nifta that summer, and Joey came with us to the Levaya. Everybody was wearing black shirt, black pants, and white shirts, but Joey had put on his black shirt because he's going to a funeral. That was his Shabbos shirt, black dress shirt. And he goes to Rav Yosha's Levaya, ended at, I think, 2 in the morning. At the end of the summer, we asked him, every kid stood up and said what their moment of the summer, what was their religious experience of their life, of the summer. And he says, it was going to Rabbi Elyasha's funeral, seeing so many people come together. There are no police cars, he said. I go to a rock concert, and you know how much security there has to be for the 4,000 people at the concert? And here there are hundreds of thousands. There's not a police car, there's not a police officer there. By the way, Joey just spent a year in Eretz Yisrael. He decided to switch to YU, came to my shir, just came back from Eretz Yisrael. He's coming back to my shir, probably my shir this coming year. Listens to Akiva Tatz while he's driving in Framingham, Massachusetts, in his free time. The power of being with 200,000 people at a Levaya, just imagine with being with 2 million people to bring a Karban Pesach. If a Levaya, where you couldn't hear the speeches, and even if he could hear them, he doesn't understand a word of Hebrew or of Yiddish, could transform a person from Framingham, Massachusetts, who thinks spirituality is smoking drugs and building oneself is lifting weights, can be transformed. Imagine how all of Klal Yisrael, how the world could be transformed by coming, by all of Yidden coming together to do a Davar Shebikdusha. We don't have Aliyah L'Regel anymore. We don't have Aliyah L'Regel anymore. One last point. Before we start Ohali, my Beis HaMikdash, very beautiful Sefer I just got this week. Rabbi Yechiel Spiro, who writes all the storybooks, Touched by This, Touched by That. He has Touched by Tears, a Kinos companion. Beautiful stories that relate to the Kinos. It's on a different Kino, but the story, just to point out what it means to have a Beis HaMikdash, because that's our avoda today, to figure out what it means to have a Beis HaMikdash so we can realize what we don't have. Quote to Medrash Breishis Rabbah, that as the Romans were about to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, they were nervous. They were a little scared. So they figured, let's have a Jew go in there first. We don't want to get, you know, we heard stories about the Kohen, you know, Kohen Gadol going in, sometimes even they died. They were a little nervous, right? So they figured out, they had a Jew who went off the Derech and joined the Roman ranks, and they figured, oh, let's throw him in first. Yosef Meshisa. And they told him, go and take out anything you want, just bring it out. So he went in, he brought out the menorah, said, no, you have to bring that in. You don't deserve to take out such a, you can't have something so valuable. We want you to go in, do the dirty work for us, but we don't want you to take something so valuable. So go back in, take something else. He came out and says, the Medrash, I'm not going in. I said, no, you have to go in. I want you to get something else. I can't go in. It's bad enough that I was machis my bori once. I could be machis him again. They said, if you don't go in another time, I'm going to kill you. And they tortured him, and he refused to go back in. Panovich Rav asked the question, I don't understand. He went up to Derech, he joined the Roman ranks, and he went in. And he took the menorah, to keep for himself. They didn't let him, and now he's not willing to go back in because he was Machis HaKadosh Baruch Hu once. He doesn't want to be Machis his HaKadosh Baruch Hu twice. All of a sudden, you know, until now he was shaving off his pants and now he's curling them behind his ears with his fingers. Says the Panovich Rav, because one moment in the Beis HaMikdash was transformative. He went in for a moment. He's a different person now. He can't go back. He realizes. We start Ohli Yud Beis, Kinu Yud Beis, Ohli Asher Ta'avta, the Ohel that you loved, you desired, you yearned for, even before the world was created. Halavai, halavai, it could be Ohli Asher Ta'avta that we yearn for, that we long for. Yud Kinu Yud Beis.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.